All right. It's my pleasure to be able to share the Word of God with you tonight. I appreciate Pastor Roy Hill giving us this opportunity throughout the summer. If you would find your place, as Pastor said, in Galatians chapter 5, we'll start there and then move to a different portion of Scripture after that. In Galatians chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Look at verse 24 and 25 as well. Verse 24 says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." We understand as believers that every single day we face a battle. And as we talked about last week, we understand that God wants us to walk in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit of God. And there's fruit that abounds in the believer that's walking in the Holy Spirit of God. I wanted to point out a few things as I start this evening from verse 24 and 25. We understand that battle every single day, like I said, going through the battle between the flesh and the Spirit. Verse 24 says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." And I don't know about you, I'm one of those types of people when somebody gives some type of illustration or something like that, I get an immediate picture in my mind and it just sticks with me. And I don't know how many of you were here last week, but Brother Vernon, he was talking about as we live in the Spirit, we understand that sometimes we're battling with that flesh every single day. And sometimes that flesh rises up. Well, what does verse 24 tell us we need to do? "And they that are Christ said, have crucified the flesh." Well, sometimes that flesh rises up again. And I don't know if you remember what he said last week. When that flesh rises up again, what do? You get a club and you beat it back down. And as I'm thinking about this all week long, I have this picture of Brother Vernon taking a club and beating the flesh down all week long. And it's just kind of sticking with me. And that's exactly what we do. That's exactly what we have to do in the Christian life. Verse 25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So we're going to talk about the next aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. But let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank You so much for everything that You've done for us, Lord. Thank You for giving us the opportunity to share the Word of God. Lord, thank You for Your Word as You give us everything we need to succeed in our Christian life. And I pray that You'd help us tonight as we look at this aspect of joy. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to see what Your Word has for us, help us to learn something, help us to grow as believers, and help us to continue seeing fruit in our lives so that others could come to know You. Lord, I pray that You'd help me say what You've laid on my heart. Give me the ability to communicate, Lord, what you've given me tonight. And I pray that You'd help us. We ask in Your precious name. Amen. There's several things that I felt like, as Brother Vernon was preaching last night, that I think we ought to keep in our minds as we deal with every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit throughout the summer. What is that fruit? Well, that fruit is that proof or evidence of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. And every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit needs to be evident in every believer's life. And one of the things that was mentioned last week that I think we ought to keep in our minds is if any aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is not evident, that means one of two things. Either number one, the Holy Spirit doesn't reside in our hearts and we need to be saved. Or the Holy Spirit is not in control in our lives. And that's something that I think that I was trying to allude to earlier as I started this evening. But the fruit of the Spirit is not produced by us. The fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Holy Spirit when we are yielding ourselves to God. When we yield ourselves to God, that is the Holy Spirit coming forth. And it's not for us. Why does God allow the Holy Spirit to produce fruit in us? It's not for us. It's for those around us, and it's for God's glory, so that others see the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And last week, as Brother Vernon was preaching, and he started out the series in love, and we've heard this before. Every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit flows out of love. Everything else, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, each one flows out of the fruit of love. And the interesting thing about fruit as we think about it is that fruit is living. Okay? Fruit is living, and it grows out of life. If I find myself in some place in some type of orchard, and I'm looking at a tree, and I want to know what kind of tree that is, what am I going to do? I'm going to look at the fruit. And from that fruit, I'm going to be able to draw a conclusion as to what kind of tree that is. I'm going to be able to understand what kind of tree that is. And likewise, I believe as believers, people around us ought to be able to look at us. They ought to be able to draw a conclusion about what we really are by the fruit that they see evidenced in our lives. All right? And that's exactly what I believe the Bible teaches us here. And as we continue our series tonight on the fruit of the Spirit, we'll be looking at the fruit of joy. And I want you to find your place in the book of Philippians tonight. Go to Philippians, and we'll start in chapter 1, read some verses throughout several chapters here in Philippians. But we find references to joy many places throughout the Scripture. But as we look at the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul gives us kind of a concentrated picture of joy in his ministry. Again, as we look throughout Scripture, we see joy all throughout it. But in the book of Philippians, we see Paul's concentrated picture of joy in his ministry. I just want to read through a few verses this evening as I get started, and then we'll move on from there. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. Always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Look at verse 18. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You look over at chapter 2, look at verse 2. It says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. You skip over to chapter 2, look at verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. You skip ahead to chapter 3, look at verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Chapter 4, look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly. We could practically spend the rest of our evening tonight doing what I just did and going through and looking at all the references to joy and rejoice and things throughout the book of Philippians. And here's the thing that's interesting about seeing joy in the book of Philippians. We know that from studying Paul's life, that in this letter to the Philippians was not written during a time of great freedom and liberty and great revival in his ministry. When Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, Paul was in prison. He was a prisoner in Rome. And even though Paul is writing this letter as a prisoner, he's filled with joy. And again, we just spent a minute reading through these verses, but you can tell that he is filled with joy. And this genuine joy kind of permeates the whole book of Philippians. If you read through the book of Philippians, you'll find the word rejoice 9 times, the word joy 5 times, the expression to rejoice with 2 times. I want you to think about a question. I'm going to just give you a question tonight, kind of get us thinking about what joy really is. And I want you to think about this question regarding Paul's attitude and joyfulness in this letter. What was it about Paul's circumstances? What was it about Paul's circumstances at this point in his life that's causing him to display such a spirit of rejoicing? What was it about his circumstances that caused him to display such a spirit of rejoicing? The answer is absolutely nothing. There was nothing about Paul's circumstances that caused him to display this spirit of rejoicing in his life. Paul was not relying on his circumstances for his joy. That's not where his joy came from. Joy comes from a true, Holy Spirit-filled life. That's what joy is all about. It's not based on our circumstances. If I wanted to tonight, we could go around the auditorium and I could say, I want you to tell me several things that make you happy. And then tell me several things that make you sad. every single one of us could probably, you know, say all kinds of things that make us happy and make us sad. We might say something like, you know, a nice bright day, you know, makes me happy, or, you know, getting some type of job promotion, or spending time with family or something like that makes me happy, or somebody giving me a pat on the back, thanking me for something that I did, that makes me happy. Maybe watching the Dallas Cowboys lose on Sundays, that makes me happy. You know, something. Sorry, I had to throw that in. You know, those are types of things. And then likewise, you know, what are the things that make us sad? You know, just a gloomy day, or maybe some undeserved criticism, an unexpected bill, you're late for work, you got a flat tire, you know, the Cowboys win or something like that. All those types of things, you know. But what happens? These are all circumstances in our lives. All right, they don't determine our joy. All right, Paul is not basing his circumstances and his situation in his life. That wasn't the source of his joy. All right, and we need to realize that. You know, and again, it would not be hard for any of us, as we said, to name circumstance after circumstances that would either encourage us or discourage us from day to day in our lives. We all go through them. We all deal with them, the ups and downs in our lives. But just as Brother Vernon was saying last week, that love, it is not contrived. It's not something that you make up. It's not something you bring up because of something someone does for you. Okay? Also, joy is the same way. With every fruit of the Spirit, joy is not based on circumstances that's going to bring happiness to our lives. It's not that at all. Someone once made the statement, the word joy is too great and grand to be confused with the superficial things we call happiness. You know, there are people all over this world that spend day after day after day going from material possession to material possession, thing to thing to thing, just looking for happiness, looking for something to satisfy them, to always end up in the same place, miserable, because they don't know what real joy is all about. They're looking for things. They're looking for certain. They're looking to find anything that they can grab onto to help them feel secure and to feel happy, and to get some type of lasting peace in their life. But that's not going to come from material possession. That's not going to come from a status in life. That's not going to come from a job or a salary or any of those types of things. All that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. So what was Paul's secret? If we understand that his situation here was not based, his joy was not based on his circumstances, because he certainly wasn't in a joyful situation in his life, what was the secret to his joy? The secret of his joy was his relationship with Jesus Christ. Every single believer has the same secret that Paul did. The secret to his joy was his relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen to this. This letter to the Philippians begins and ends with the name of Jesus. Paul mentions Jesus' name 40 times, 17 just in chapter 1. All right, as he's writing this letter to this church, no doubt there are issues going on in the church that he's addressing. And, you know, if you go through and read the whole book of Philippians, you find all different types of things that Christian people were dealing with. Okay? But think about the focus of his writing. You know, Paul saw himself as a slave of Jesus Christ. That's what he says in this book. He refers to the Philippians as saints in Christ. And then he says he describes his imprisonment as bonds, but he says in Christ. Every focus that he has is in Christ. Even though he knows that some people are taking advantage of his imprisonment, he rejoices that Christ is being preached. I want you to look at chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 15. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." There were folks there that were taking advantage of Paul's situation, even in the preaching of Christ, trying to make his affliction more difficult for them. But what does he say? He understood that. Nothing. It wasn't happening without his understanding what was going on. But at the end of verse 18, he says, "And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Why? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached. As long as the Lord Jesus Christ is being glorified and lifted up and magnified and people are hearing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what's happening to me is of no consequence. It doesn't matter. And he's rejoicing. He's not just satisfied. And I think that's something, too, that we need to understand as we go through our Christian life. We ought not just be satisfied and okay with where God puts us in our life, but we need to rejoice with where God puts us in our life. Paul wasn't just comfortable and satisfied. He was rejoicing because of his relationship. That was the secret. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "A thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." When Christ came to this earth, and he came to provide for us a life of freedom to serve him. Christ came so that we could be free, not to live in bondage to sin and self. Christ came so that we could live a joyful, abundant Christian life. And we have that ability through the Holy Spirit of God. There is more, R.A. Torrey said, there is more joy in Jesus in 24 hours than there is in the world in 365 days. I've tried them both, is what he said. And that is so true. All right. When our hearts and our minds are fixed to the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul was, his focus was on Jesus Christ, then there was joy and great rejoicing, regardless of the circumstances. So how do we take Paul's example that we have in looking through the book of Philippians, how do we take it and apply it to our lives? What is it that we do? What is it that, how can we respond to this so that we can see these things in our lives? What does it mean to have the fruit of joy in our lives as believers? As we said, all the fruit is an outgrowth of love. And when a person lives in the sphere of love, he experiences joy. That's a natural outgrowth of love, is joy. By definition, joy is an inward peace and sufficiency that is not affected by our outward circumstances. We've seen that. We've looked at that already this evening. That inward peace and sufficiency that is not affected by outward circumstances. Inward peace, that's true joy in our hearts. Not just on the surface. Not just everything's okay, all right? We've got our bills paid, the vehicle's running well, the kids aren't sick, and all these types of things. Those are nice things, don't get me wrong. We enjoy when life is nice. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not the source of our true joy, all right? True joy is that inward peace, all right? And although we will go through times of sadness, we'll go through times of disappointment, no doubt, in our lives, And there'll be times where we'll not be able to be expressive sometimes with joy. But that inward peace is still there. We'll go through difficulties. Many of us have gone through difficulties and trials, and many right now are going through things. And it may not be on the outside. It may not be something that's obvious, but it's evident through a person's life that they still have true joy because of what that inward peace that God has. And that inward peace, therefore, will affect their outward behavior. And that's something that we as believers, we want to experience the way Paul experienced it. Paul experienced an outward behavior that was evident to everybody that was around him. The Bible tells us that due to Paul's imprisonment, what's going on? People are actually getting saved. People are coming to know the Lord as Savior because of his imprisonment. He's not in the dumps. He's not worrying and upset because of his condition and situation like that. And no, the gospel is being preached. The name of Jesus is going forth even there. And that outward behavior is evident. People are coming to know the Lord. So how can we see true joy realized in our own life? Well, it goes back to where we started. It goes back to the beginning. We must have the Holy Spirit controlling our lives. We will not see joy evidenced and realized in our own lives. We'll not be able to have this type of spirit that Paul experienced here in Philippians if the Holy Spirit of God is not in control of our lives. That's why I started there tonight, helping us understand, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection of love. Let us walk in the Spirit. All right, that has to be the focus of our life. Joy is a natural byproduct of what's already within us. That's just the nature of fruit, isn't it? All right, the nature of fruit is just to show forth what's already there. And as I said earlier, if I want to know what kind of tree a particular kind of fruit tree is, I look at its fruit and I can tell that I can come to the right conclusion based on the fruit that I see. And that's joy is just a natural byproduct of what's already inside of us. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to control us. You know, and some people have a certain idea, have a certain mentality that joy is having this huge smile painted on your face 24 hours a day. All right, that's all you do. You're always being happy, always walking around with a huge smiling face. Nothing gets you down. All those types of things. Maybe you've heard some of these statements. You know, it takes 72 muscles to frown and only 14 to smile. All right, maybe you've heard that kind of trivia. If you feel good, why not notify your face? Okay, let your face know if you're having a good day. You know, a smile and a scowl are known and read in every language and dialect. All right, those are things maybe we've heard or some reference to that, and it's true. We produce thousands of different messages every single day by our face, okay, by our appearance, where we are emotionally, how we're feeling physically, how we feel about a certain environment or situation we may find ourselves in. You know, all those things can be expressed on our face, you know, and it becomes obvious. But true joy will be evidenced by a person's life. True joy will be evidenced by a person's life. You know, just like going to a tree to examine its fruit. I remember there was a fella that I knew in college, and his name was Chris. And I believe he came to college as a 23-year-old freshman. He was obviously older when he came. He lived a very, very rough life, from what I understand. And when he came to school, you know, he didn't look like he came from a nice, clean-cut Christian home. Tattoos and different things like that, which on a Christian college campus is something that everybody goes, ooh, you know, it's just a little something that they're not used to, you know. But there was something about Chris that stood out in that whole campus. Something had happened to him, and he'd been into all types of things. All types of things. I don't even know that I heard the whole story in his life. But there was something about him that stood out. Everybody on that campus knew Chris, because the Lord had saved him and had changed his life, and he didn't care who knew it. You know, sometimes you're around people who are so happy and joyful, it actually makes you a little bit uncomfortable because you're just not sure exactly how to feel sometimes. And he was one of those guys, it didn't matter what was going on. You know, he could have failed a test, but he'd say, bless God, I'll get him next time, you know. And in fact, I think finally by his third year, he passed freshman English, from what I understand. So he had a rough time academically, but he loved the Lord and everybody knew who he was. And the joy of the Lord was in that young fellow's life, and he was a testimony. He was, and again, some people just kind of didn't know how to take him, didn't know exactly how to respond. And I think sometimes, you know, years from that, I look back and think, you know, that's crazy to think that as a believer, we don't know how to respond to someone who loves the Lord so much they just want to talk about Him all the time. Isn't that odd to think that as believers, we feel a little bit uncomfortable being around someone who just loves the Lord so much and the joy of the Lord's in their life? You know, I think about that now, thinking, you know, yeah, that's kind of a shame to me to think, you know, that you know, I didn't always know what to say. But I think that ought to be our spirit. Again, not necessarily having to always have something to say all the time, but the true joy was evidenced in that young man's life, and it was good. Now, Paul, I want you to go to chapter 4. I just want to give you just a few points tonight, if you just want to write some things down. But Paul gives us some admonition in chapter 4, because we said, as we're talking about true joy and how do we know, how do we experience, how do we realize this true joy that the Apostle Paul pictures for us in the book of Philippians. And we said, it's our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit of God controlling our lives. That's how we do it. And Paul gives us a little bit of admonition here in chapter 4 about some things that we can do to allow the Holy Spirit to control, some practical things that I think every single one of us can be thinking about on a daily basis and applying to our lives. Look at verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Paul tells us here in verses 6 and 7, we can evidence true joy. We can allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives, number one, by how we pray. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What did we say that joy was? It was that inward peace that's evidenced in our lives, regardless of our circumstances. No doubt, we all go through times of difficulty and difficult circumstances in our lives. Well, what is Paul admonishing us here to do? What is he telling us to do? Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about your circumstances. Don't allow your circumstances to dictate what happens in your life. You don't have to allow your circumstances to control and determine how you live your life. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. What does Paul say? What's the result? Look at verse 7. And the what? The peace of God. The peace of God, that inward peace, that joy. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what Paul is saying is, if we want to experience and realize that true joy that's evidenced from the Holy Spirit controlling our lives, it first of all, it comes on how we pray. Being willing to take our circumstances, to take our situations, and take them to God. Now, I don't mean as a last resort. I mean, God, this is what you've put me in. This is the situation that you've put me in. And this is exactly what that you've ordained for my life. I shared an illustration with our Sunday school class a couple weeks ago. I don't know, probably 3 or 4 weeks ago or something like that. We were in the office and someone came through the door just looking for help. And they were going through a difficult situation in their lives and gave a testimony of salvation and all different types of things. And Pastor had just preached a message about dealing with trials and what is it that God wants us to know and those types of things. And so I had all those songs were kind of running through my mind. So I was opening up my Bible. I was sharing some things. And, you know, and she was talking about, you know, her family and some people that had done her wrong and all these types of things. And so I was just trying to help her understand, you know, if she gave a testimony of salvation, I was saying, you know, what is it? You know, as you go through these things, you need to ask God, what is it that God wants you to learn? What is it that God wants you to know and you to learn through this difficult situation? And it was in the class, you know, I've told this illustration once or twice already. And as soon as I said that, it was like a likely tone. She was like, oh, I got it. That's it. Okay. You know, I was like, well, can I at least pray with you or something like that? You know, she was like, you know, that's it. That's what I need. I needed to know that whatever situation I'm going through in my life, God has a plan in that. And we understand that as believers. But sometimes it's hard for us to come to that place and say, okay, God, here's where you put me. Now what do you want me to learn from it? And it's taking that time to pray and ask God to show us and give us that peace. Look at not only do we allow the Holy Spirit to control us by how we pray, but also how we think. How we think. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We understand as believers, or we should understand as believers, that our mind is the battleground. And what Satan would love more than anything is to capture and to gain control of our mind and our thinking and to cast doubt in our mind about God and His goodness and His love for us. And it's so important that as we deal with things in our lives that we want to experience that inward peace, we need to think the way God thinks. And that's what Paul is saying here. The things that we think about are the things that are true and honest and just and right and good report. These are these types of thoughts. Okay? These are the types of thoughts that are going to allow that joy to be evident, regardless of the circumstances. All right? That joy to come through and be evident in our lives, regardless of the circumstances that we're dealing with. So allowing the Holy Spirit to control us, we can see joy regardless of the circumstance by how we pray, by how we think. And look at verse 9, not only those two, but how we live. Look at verse 9. Paul says, again, he's setting himself, he's giving all of this instruction, but setting the example. He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And what happens as a result? And the God of peace. And the God of peace shall be with you, that inward peace. Paul is saying, and the Bible tells us as well, all these things that we read about in God's Word were given to us as examples, as examples. So that we have, of course, the pattern is the Lord Jesus Christ, but God has given us so many other examples that we can follow and pattern our lives as well. And Paul is telling these Philippians here the very same thing. The things that you're seeing, that joy in my life, you can see that. You can evidence that. You can realize that in your life as well by following that pattern, allowing the Holy Spirit, not only by how we pray and how we think, but also by how we live. You know, many of us have heard the little acronym for joy. You know, Jesus first, others second, you last. And that's definitely a true statement. But I read after one preacher that put it a little different. The J stands for Jesus, and the Y stands for you. So what is it that the O stands for? It stands for zero. It is exactly that. It says nothing. And what he was saying, that the way to stay close to Jesus and to keep joy in our heart is to have absolutely nothing between Jesus and you. And that's a true statement. You know, that is a true statement. When we take everything out of our lives, as Paul, again, I asked the question, you know, what is the secret of Paul's joy? Well, the secret is his relationship with Jesus Christ. And we can take everything in our lives and move those away from between Jesus and us in our daily lives, then that's the true joy. That's true joy. That will be evident in our lives regardless of the circumstances. And yes, there are going to be times when it will be impossible to be happy. But that's not what God says in His Word. He doesn't say that the fruit of the Spirit is happiness. Happiness is just something that comes when something good happens and your circumstances are favorable for some period of time. And there are going to be times where it will be impossible to be happy, and there will be unexpected circumstances and situations beyond our control that we certainly will struggle with. We definitely will struggle with. However, nothing that comes our way can rob us of true joy. No circumstance can come our way. It's going to rob us. That Nehemiah 8:10 says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." There's a song, there's a hymn. It says, "There's joy in serving Jesus." The last verse, listen to the words of the last verse. It says, "There is joy in serving Jesus, joy amid the darkest night. For I've learned the wondrous secret, and I'm walking in the light. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus, joy that throbs within my heart. Every moment, every hour, as I draw upon His power, there is joy, joy, joy that never shall depart." And as we look at the book of Philippians, as we look at Psalms in the Old Testament and the life of David, and we see all these references to joy and rejoice, what we're seeing is the evidence of a believer who has the Holy Spirit of God controlling his or her life. And that's exactly what God wants for every single one of us. That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, having joy, is having Jesus in our heart. Where is joy found? Not in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel on the most pronounced type. And he wrote this, "I wish I had never been born." Joy is not found in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, and he wrote, "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone." Joy is not found in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that. When dying, he said, "I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth." Joy is not found in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day, and having done so, he wept in his tent because he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." Where then is real joy found? The answer is very simple. It's found in Jesus Christ. When we as believers will recognize and understand, I believe we understand that as believers, the Lord's given us a wonderful church to be a part of. And we hear the Word of God preached every single service. And we understand, we know that. But when we're there and we're experiencing those trials and those circumstances, we must allow the Holy Spirit of God to work through us, to work these things through us so that we can experience the fruit of the Spirit in the midst of trials. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. I don't know what your situation is in your life. I don't know where you are. I don't know what situation that God may be allowing you to go through at this time in your life, but God does. There's absolutely nothing that God allows us to go through that He's not in complete control of, and we know that. The Bible teaches us that. And sometimes it's hard to be happy, but the Bible never teaches us, you know, that we need to be happy all the time. The Bible tells us and teaches us that we need true joy, and that comes through the Holy Spirit of God controlling our lives and us walking in the Spirit. And just tonight, as we think about this, maybe you're saying, you know what, I struggle with having this inward peace. I struggle with circumstances in my life dictating and controlling my attitude, my spirit, my relationship with others, whatever it may be, and I just need the Lord to help me deal with this area. And I want joy. I want true Holy Spirit joy to live in my heart. And if that's where you are tonight, I pray the Lord would speak to your heart, and you would have some time with Him, and He would show you exactly what you need to know in your life. And maybe you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't have the Holy. You have no guarantee that if you were to die this evening, that you would be in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't know what it's like to have the Holy Spirit of God living your life. I pray that you would allow someone to take the Bible and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you tonight. And so that you can leave here knowing that your eternity is settled, and you can know what it's like to live a life walking in the Holy Spirit. And I pray that as the Holy Spirit's working in your heart, that you would deal with whatever the Lord may have for you tonight. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving us your word. I thank you for everyone that you have divinely appointed to be here tonight. No doubt there are many, many folks here who are going through difficulties or situations in their life that's hard. It's hard, nearly impossible to be happy. But yet, your word tells us that we can have true Holy Spirit joy through our relationship with Jesus Christ. As Paul sat in that prison, no doubt dealing with all types of issues and struggles and difficulties in his life, his life evidenced true joy because of his relationship with you. I pray tonight that if there be any here that's just struggling with where they are, Lord, that you would help them tonight. And I pray that if there be somebody here tonight that has no guarantee, no assurance that they know you as personal Savior and the Holy Spirit lives within their heart, that they would not leave this place before settling that. I pray that you do a work in our hearts tonight. We ask these things in your precious name.